This is Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities, taking a look at wheat for Friday, August 16th. Well, the wheat markets yesterday finding some stability, finally, and even though we continue to see some selling in corn and soybeans, the wheat market kind of standing on its own here for the last couple sessions. Kansas City gaining on Chicago by a pretty decent amount as well, up 7 or 8 cents, and that spread seems to have stabilized as well. So Chicago's had a massive move against Kansas City and Minneapolis, largely led on the coattails of corn. But after the report, corn continued to kind of flounder, whereas the wheat markets held steady. Tight supplies of soft red winter wheat are the big reason why Chicago is so premium to Kansas City. But in general, the Kansas City market has fallen apart because of a huge crop, a lot of feed wheat, and a great deal of milling grade wheat here in the United States and around the world. Now, the drop in Kansas City wheat has made us much more competitive in the broader market. We didn't participate in the Egyptian purchase yesterday, but we are definitely in the running for with the other major competitors. So as we approach the level in Kansas City, where on the front month, you know, we're sitting around the 390 area, 370, 375 is long-term support on the weekly charts. And so we're not that far away from major support. We had a major low in May, and we're basically back down testing those lows. Minneapolis, of course, has taken out those lows and seems to be just kind of pushing sideways. We haven't gotten back above those lows. That's still something that you at least want to see that before you can feel more confident that we've carved out a low. But here we are in mid-August. The Northern Hemisphere winter wheat harvest is all but wrapped up. Spring wheat harvest is well underway. So most of the harvest pressure, especially for winter wheat, should be behind us. And I think as we get down into these, you know, sub $4 levels, you really start to see that the wheat market is just being compressed and it's tough to keep pushing it down. Feed wheat values have been, you know, below corn for quite some time in the southern plains. So much of the low quality wheat out of the Texas, Oklahoma, you know, southern Kansas area has found a home. We should be able to use up that supply fairly quickly. Milling grade wheat, you know, the last few years there's always been just a general tight supply of milling grade wheat around the world. That's not the case this year. The U.S., the further north the harvest went, the better the quality got. So we got plenty of milling grade wheat around, hard red winter wheat. And we expect that we'll have plenty of hard red spring wheat around as well. But the rest of the world is coming in with a much better quality crop than expected. And quite a bit of that was due to the heat wave that came through late in the growing season, which kind of propped up some protein premiums. We see that in southern Russia, where you've got very high proteins, up around 15-16% for hard red winter wheat. Europe, much better quality as well, and even Ukraine, much better quality. So these are things that will be affecting the market, but you're most likely not going to see protein premiums really get ramped up here. And this is something that's caught the Russian farmer by surprise. You know, if they are loading up the fertilizer to get high protein, it's not going to pay off for them this year. So they've been reluctant to sell into a market that's not offering them a premium for their high quality wheat. And it's a phenomena that's kind of new to them, because that's unusual that they can't demand that. But I think that's been a big reason why the exporter has been a little slow out of the gate this marketing year as far as being competitive, because they haven't been able to pry it out of the farmer's hands because the farmer thinks that he should be getting more for it. What we want to be watchful for is if this puts them into a bind where they end up having to move a lot of wheat right before next year's harvest, or having to move a lot to generate cash for operating expenses. For them, that would be in March. For us, it's in February. And of course, if they're making room for next year's crop, that would take them out to the May-June time window. So we'll see where this all leads out. But you know, we see that often here in the United States where, you know, prices aren't good, farmers get a big crop, they just hang on to it. But at some point, they have to move it, either to make room for the next crop or to generate some cash flow. And it usually comes at a time when everybody else is kind of caught in the same boat. So the Russian farmer, unfortunately, you know, we know how that is. You don't get your protein premiums when everybody else has high quality wheat as well. It's just part of the market system. They're just not used to it. So Egypt put out a tender Wednesday afternoon. They bought on Thursday morning, they bought 295,000 tons. They took 175,000 from Russia and 120,000 from Ukraine. They paid $217 to $219 a ton delivered, which is down about a dollar from the previous week where they bought a pretty good chunk of wheat as well. Almost all of that came from Russia last week. In the United States, export sales are pretty solid, 475,000 tons. That was at the high end of the range of estimates. Hard red winter wheat was 106,000, spring wheat 179,000, and white wheat 135,000. Corn export sales at 364,000, that was within the middle of the range of estimates. We saw that China canceled 60,000. In soybeans, 707,000 tons, that was just barely above the high end of the range of estimates. China canceled 422,000 tons, unknown canceled 124,000, but unknown also bought for new crop 586,000. So that's probably some of that is China just moving it from old crop to new crop, as we're just about to wrap up the marketing year for corn and soybeans. Strategy Grains yesterday put out production estimates for European Union soft wheat production. They raised it 2.3 million tons to 142.9 million tons. They raised export projections 2.9 million tons up to 24.8 million tons. So after kind of pulling back on their production estimates following the heat wave, now we're starting to see them kind of perk back up. Kind of a similar story in Russia. We haven't seen the actual numbers perk up, but the anecdotal comments from the harvest as it's moved north has been yields better than expected, and they performed better than the southern region, which got hit with that heat wave. So I think the bottom line is wheat is, you know, the world has plenty of it. You're going to have record carryover stocks again, and you've got adequate supplies of milling grade wheat. That's the big picture in wheat. Now, corn has had a major influence so far this year, but that's going to separate itself if indeed the corn crop is as big as what USDA is projecting. Now, on that note, we're getting some reports from the digital survey by DTN, which we're not quite sure what that is, but they are reporting that yields across the heart of the Midwest far less than what USDA is projecting. Pro Farmer Crop Tour and other crop tours will be next week, so we'll see what if they confirm that. If that's the case, then the market's going to take a completely different tack for corn. And after the washout that corn has had, if you then start to have crop tours actually showing yields being 20 to 24, 5 bushels an acre less than what USDA is, that's a huge difference. And I think that will underpin the corn market fairly quickly and would offer some support to wheat. So we'll see. We'll see what all this brings. But next week should probably have just as much fireworks as we saw this week with the crop report. If you have any questions, feel free to call at 1-800-888-9843. This has been Louise Gartner with Spectrum Commodities.